Evening, guys. So how you doing? It is Monday, the 26th of March. Ed Draper here, just responding actually on the back of the Dillian White, Lucas Brown fight. Just kind of been asking on Twitter, Ed Draper 81 on there, about your thoughts on Dillian White's progress since the Anthony Joshua fight. Seven fights since then now. What kind of progression you saw in the skill set, even from, I guess, the Hellenius fight, maybe his sort of immediate pre-fight before this one, and then before that, of course, Chisora and Ian Lewison, Malcolm Tan, David Allen. Just seeing a sense of skill progression. What did you think of it? I thought it was good. I think Lucas Brown was lackluster, to say the least, and clearly a lot had been made of his conditioning. And in fairness, Sky Sports commentator Adam Smith, I think, drew attention to that straight away. That wasn't the strongest condition that the Australian came into it, albeit it was undefeated coming in. Rob Barrow put on Twitter, and you can find this thread, as I say, Ed Draper 81 on Twitter, some good knowledgeable boxing enthusiasts putting some comments, and Rob Barrow has put, I agree, he was more imposing when he was in shape. Feel the match making has been very clever. One thing that's good for Brown is that emotion didn't get the better of him. He's gone to war with Chisora and AJ. In my opinion, he lost both, although marginally v Chisora. Well, clearly he lost, obviously, the AJ fight, seventh round knockout against Anthony Joshua. Did rock Joshua in that fight, did Dillian White. Just looked sharp. Looked to me more of a boxer. I'm not a technical aficionado, and I don't claim to be, and I feel obviously very uncomfortable, I think, judging boxers in that sense, sitting in judgment as someone who's never had the cojones to get in the ring personally myself. But I think boxing is a fascinating topic in terms of analogies with life and what you learn from it and what you try and learn from it. From my perspective, it's people that certainly have that courage to get in the ring in the first place and face fear, but also you can see the development, I think, in Dillian White, in terms of particularly the Anthony Joshua fight, his kind of gung-ho, emotive, adrenalized style, where it seemed a lot more composed, even though there was a rivalry, a bit of needle, maybe not as much as Anthony Joshua, a sort of childhood rivalry he has with Joshua, and the animosity that was with Derek Chisora as well, which went back to sparring years ago, as I understand it. But he seemed to be composed. He didn't overcommit against a guy that had a hefty knockout percentage rate. I think 88% knockout rate coming into the fight. He kind of bided his time, and then when he knew he could land and when he had some good body shots in there, he had a good arsenal. I think the jab looked quite punchy. Wasn't a reaching American style jab, had a bit of zip to it. Just looked like he altogether more like a boxer, I suppose. And I think part of that was technical. People have credited Mark Tibbs as trainer, but also potentially emotionally, just that it was in his mindset, it was kind of more focused, more, I guess, professional in his approach, maybe. Danny Rosamond put on my Twitter account, hard to say, as Brown came in so poor, looked much better when he wasn't as personally involved like Joshua and even Chisora, much more use of the jabs and less gung-ho. So it kind of echoes what I was saying there. Certainly improved under Mark Tibbs. Be interesting to see the skill set against a world-class opponent. I think Mark Tibbs at TKO gym in Canning Town, actually, which was the only proper boxing trainer I ever had, was one session down there. Absolutely exhausted me. John Bailey says he has improved, but it's still so hard to judge, as Brown was very poor, which I think is fair. I mean, was Brown just overwhelmed as well, physically, energy-wise? Nearly 39. John Bailey continues, with boxing not having any universal ranking structure, it's hard to judge where a boxer actually is until they're repeatedly defending world titles. Yeah, people might argue that even Vladimir Klitschko, when he was defending them, wasn't necessarily doing that much different, was he? In terms of kind of stretching himself every time. Rob Barrow mentioned him. Benjamin Nibb, most definitely improved. Believe he's got a much better skill set now, which talks to the concept of improvement, doesn't it? And technically working in a gym, you can see that manifesting itself, I think. But Benjamin continues, Joshua, a closer fight. So he thinks that if Dillian White does get that rematch with Anthony Joshua, it'll be closer. He says, not so sure. Think he's a better technical fighter than Wilder, but he'd have to stay away from the bombs Wilder throws. But he deserves a shot. He's grafted for it. Which I think is fairness. He's fought people like Ivica Bakarin, hasn't he? People like Dave Allen, the White Rhino from Leeds. I think he's kind of earned his salt, hasn't he? He's had some tough fights. Richard Lewis says he's improved for sure, but I don't see him beating either Joshua or Wilder myself. But that said, I do think he'd trouble the best of the non-champions. Maybe a fight with Pulev, Povetkin, or Tyson Fury next would be a good measure of how far he's come. And I responded to that, and I just wonder what you think about that potential to fight Tyson Fury. He's obviously going to want a high-caliber fight sometime soon, maybe after He has a sort of a kind of initial perfunctory reintroduction to boxing, because remember, Fury hasn't fought since end of 2015, so it's getting on for 2.5 years. But I wonder whether it's a good match for Dillian White, because he's what, 6'4". Tyson Fury, long reach, 6'9", as we saw in the second fight, particularly against Derek Chisora, just that long reach. Very tactically difficult fight for a smaller man to fight Tyson Fury, just because of that range, that reach, and that ability to switch hit, variety of shots, difficult to get close. But I did point here that maybe Dillian White's got a bit more bounce, a bit more energy, a bit more lateral movement than Derek Chisora, who just kind of slightly flat-footed in his style and kind of coming forward in straight lines, very easy for Tyson Fury. Maybe Dillian White would pose a little bit more of a threat. Let me know what you think on that. If you're moved with a prediction about Tyson Fury against Dillian White, obviously Tyson Fury, by virtue of his performance against Vladimir Klitschko, would be big favourite. But then that was one night, and we just don't quite know what Vladimir Klitschko was like going into that fight. Didn't lay a glove on him, didn't he? And I think certainly tactically, technically smart by Tyson Fury, but whether we read too much into it because maybe Vladimir wasn't quite up to scratch. A lot of murmurings about his personal life at the time, things like that. Going through a difficult time. Matty Shaw says, in regards to Dillian White, he says, with Dillian and Wilder, I think Dillian White has a great chance, technically more improved, better experience, and will bang to Wilder's body. Yeah, note the body shots of the weekend, actually slowing him down. Same situation as Brown, just be wary of the big right and how to counter it. I mean, that's like a kind of, it's like a laser-guided sort of viper snake, isn't it? Deontay Wilder's right hand just sort of kind of extends and sort of gravitates into people's jaws. So it'd be difficult more than Lucas Brown because of the reach, 6'7" guy again. James Warwick says, definitely improved, a lot of stamina, physical and power, has a beating in Wilder for sure, but not AJ, he'll always have his number. That's interesting. Glyn Davenport, definitely developed and improved in all aspects. Tibbs has done a great job with him, seems more focused on being a boxer than a fighter, although capable of both. AJ still wins for me, but he's got a better chance now, mainly by left hook. We know AJ's vulnerable if caught. Now, that was the second round of their first fight, wasn't it, in 2015, that Dillian White caught AJ in the second round of that with a left hook and couldn't quite finish it then. He says because of a shoulder problem. Looked quite gassed at the time. Both men riding high in emotion. Pete Bancroft says, Saturday was the first time he's impressed with boxing skills. He looked in good shape too. His problem is that whilst he's improved, AJ, and to a lesser extent, Wilder have two. Based on styles, I think he gives Wilder more problems than AJ, but still a level below both. Interesting that, though, because aside from Vladimir Klitschko, maybe Dominic Brazil, or Carlos Takam was an obstinate opponent for Anthony Joshua. I'm just thinking that some of the fights that Dillian White's had, the encounters he's had, that sort of Derek Chisora contest, even Dave Allen, Ian Lewison, I think, you know, London Derby, that fight kind of really gave him some issues. Ian kind of showed his talent as well in that fight, and I think some lot more rounds maybe under his belt than Anthony Joshua, who, you know, seventh round Dominic Brazil, seventh round stoppage of Dillian White. Apart from that, Klitschko and Carlos Takam, he hasn't had many rounds in the 20 fights. So interesting to see whether the progression has been higher for AJ. Obviously he's been in huge fights, but I wonder whether Dillian White's adjusted more to the limelight, because that's one thing that was apparent that people discussed at the time working in the media, was that for Dillian White, that first Anthony Joshua fight was a huge step into the spotlight, into the media world, to have to talk, to be eloquent, articulate, and he kind of came across just then as played the kind of pantomime villain, didn't he, to AJ's good guy. And I think it was a time that he was sort of maybe a little bit understandably overwhelmed by the occasion of it, because he didn't have that Olympic background fighting at London Excel, have the nation's expectations behind him as Joshua did in 2012 and then his professional career. So it was a kind of novel experience. Maybe he's got more experience in facing that temperamentally wise. Maybe the event would be easier for Dillian White this time than last time, relative to AJ, who obviously has got up a notch with fighting Klitschko at Wembley and stuff. Red White Gooner, presumably an Arsenal fan, says he noticeably worked on his defence, and that'll be key if he faces Wilder. He boxes better than Wilder, and because he can do that, if he lands while Wilder's chin is wide open, you never know what could happen. The other thing is, if he survives 12 rounds against Deontay Wilder, I know we've seen some kind of imaginative scoring against Luis Ortiz, but if it was in the UK, a fight against Dillian White with decent judges, you'd think Dillian White avoids getting knocked out over 12 rounds. Could he score more points than Deontay Wilder? Because he's not exactly orthodox, doesn't land many points for this jab, does he, Wilder? Maybe he could do that. Maybe he could elude Wilder for 12 rounds and outbox him. Yeah, it remains Taverne, the only man in their first encounter, of course, to go the full distance against Deontay Wilder. Rico Boxing says, definitely improved under Mark Tibbs. A good trainer and conditioning has improved also. Whether it's enough to beat Wilder or Joshua, I don't think he beats either. Dara Fagan says, he looked the best he has skill-wise. He'll never be the most skilled heavyweight, but neither is AJ, who might be the best. I think he has a decent chance to beat either man, but would pick AJ or Wilder if it was my last fiver. Love to see the Wilder fight. Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? I think it's just a, you know, kind of an erratic enigma of a boxer, isn't he, Deontay Wilder? And that right hand is just kind of like a nuclear missile you've got just to unleash at any point. Chris Scudder, who's a former colleague of mine at Sky Sports, says, don't think Wilder camp would risk losing a Joshua payday by fighting White first unless he's mandatory WBC. I think he probably is now. He says, I think he's ranked number one, isn't he, by them? I think that's an issue whether it be a voluntary to fight Joshua. It puts a little bit of pressure on Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder to get their fight, though, if Dillian White pushes, because he's had to play this kind of subplot guy in the shadows, hasn't he? The sort of kind of Z-list actor to the front two, or not, maybe that's wrong, but the character actor around the main protagonist. So it's interesting that maybe he can force the issue now. Maybe he can create pressure to get the Wilder Joshua fight on a little bit earlier than both men may want. But yeah, Dillian White, for me, there's evidence, and I think this podcast, this audio blog, is called Sport and Life because I wanted to try and link sport to life and kind of understand why I've been such a massive advocate of it, playing, watching it, working in it for 15 years now, and what it can benefit us. And I think you can learn from people, and I think Dillian White's shown progression, shown development, which, if you, I guess, Tony Robbins, the guru of lifestyle, says that if you can feel like you're progressing in life, then humans need that, and it's a way to happiness. And he's certainly progressing, isn't he? Whether he still has enough to beat the top men, I think you can't judge it on your opponents, can you? Can you judge it on him? And you have to respect him for improving his skill set, his conditioning, and his technique. Dillian White doing his best for his family and carving a good career and working on himself, self improvement. But guys, let me know what you think. This was on @Draper81 on Twitter. I also put a video up on Instagram @_Draper81. Filmed it at Sudley Castle in Gloucestershire. But just a quick kind of audio blog, just asking for people's thoughts. And Stanner999 said, I thought Dillian White was a good look, sharp, strong, powerful, did everything off a good jab, move well. Skills have improved, but saying that Lucas Brown was very poor, plodding forward, looking for one big shot. I think White should test himself against Pulev or a Takam, Joshua and Wilder, still leagues above. So that's Stanner999 on my Instagram page, @Ed_Draper81. Hook me up on there. It'd be good to make contact with you guys if you listen to this the first time. I'm a sports broadcaster in the UK, predominantly working for Sky Sports. I was trained in the States, though. Boxing's a big love of mine. Football, since being a kid, in terms of playing, football's been my main sport. Played semi-pro a little bit. Played at university at Loughborough. Coached in the States and other places before diving into sports journalism. But yeah, love to get your thoughts, guys. It's kind of an audio blog. Getting a few guests lined up. I'm going to speak to Jim White. Kind of legendary broadcaster, works at Sky, and Gary Johnson, Cheltenham Town football manager, and then various characters along the way. I hope to check out Darren Barker's gym in Paddington. He's going to open soon as well. I hope to speak to Darren on here, get his thoughts on sport and life. Got a great story about how boxing helped him get over the loss of his brother as a young man, which is powerful. I think sport can teach us a lot of things, and hopefully this is of interest to you. Do get in touch and speak to you soon. I'll maybe post on Twitter, actually getting people's thoughts on Anthony Joshua against Joseph Parker this weekend. I'd like to know your thoughts on that too. Cheers, guys. Speak to you soon.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.